It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we are here to discuss Corey Kluber's no-hitter, the upcoming White Sox series, and everything that's been going on since our last episode. Tom, he is here, but no Eddie today, unfortunately. But it's all right. We're still going to vibe. We're going to have some fun. Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. It was a very successful road trip. We did an episode right before the Texas series, and you know, we were 5-2 or 4-2 on the road trip, and now we won three out of four against Texas, and one of those three included a no-hitter, so that's always fun. 7-3 road trip, feeling good. We're only I think we're a game back of Boston or something. And, you know, it's too early to really care. It's too early to care about, standings. Just don't be, 10 back and you're okay. Don't be like the Minnesota Twins. That's basically the goal of early season baseball. Stay healthy and get yourself in a good position. We've done one of those two things.
Yeah, you know what? We're right there, man. We are right there with all the other teams in the division. The Rays have been doing really good. I think they're on a 6 or 7 game winning streak right now. So they're
killing. They play Baltimore. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but you know what? It helps them in the standing. So all counts the same. You know what? Right now, the Yankees, they're looking pretty good, especially when you look at their pitching. It's really just the offense. Again, we've talked about this a million times, so I won't go on and on about it. But that's really where my concern lies. I'm just waiting for some of these bats to wake up, or not even just that, but some of the guys just to be healthy, like Stanton after his latest injury, Aaron Hicks, who I expect to be out for the rest of the season. They're already shopping, looking for outfielders.
He died.
Yeah, so that's why we're getting Delino DeShields to replace him probably. So that's fine. Yeah,
we got Glaber back, though.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome. Glaber's looked pretty good. Again, we need to see power from him, but he's at least, he's getting his hits so far, so that's good at least.
Got Odor back as well.
Yeah, we got Odor back, which is fun. Really, I just need to see really more power more than anything. I think that's the thing this team's missing the most, because the Yankees don't work when they're not hitting home runs. That's just the reality of it.
That's because they're fat and slow when they're not hitting home runs.
That's my point. Although Delino DeShields, if he's starting, that'd be pretty funny because he's fast as fuck.
Yes, Delino DeShields. That's the big rumor. Thank you, Ken Rosenthal. I don't like the way that the tweet was framed. They are discussing a trade for Delino DeShields. Well, no shit. They're probably discussing a trade for about 6 different people. I mean, they recently just worked out a deal for Rougned Odor, so I understand that Texas is a good spot because Cashman likes to work with people that, you know, he's already made deals with. So, I think it's a good possibility, especially because Odor especially because DeShields doesn't have a spot because that guy Garcia kind of locked up the center field spot in Texas. So, you know, he's basically just he's their version of Mike Tauchman, only, you know, not as good.
You see, that's exactly why, though. I saw someone point this out. This is so true. This is why I don't even care that we traded Mike Tauchman. He's so easy to replace. Let's be honest about it. The guy's not hitting with San Francisco at all. He's not good. He's a good fielder, yeah, but so are guys like the Shields. He's faster than Tauchman, too. I mean, What's the big difference? It's really not that big of a deal if you really look at it that way. And we got a fucking really solid reliever out of it. So, I mean,
just going to need a body.
Yeah, I never really understood the criticism on that Talkman deal. I liked it from the beginning, honestly, and I still do. So, that ended up working out nicely. And now, if we end up getting the Shields, it'll just be satisfying to have a real athletic guy in the lineup if that happens, honestly. It'd be really funny. Because I'm so used to thinking every time someone runs to first base, what if they pull their hammy or something, like Lamar? So, you know, that would be nice not to think about that for once.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar straining his hamstring, you knew exactly, like, once that happened that he was going on the IL.
Yeah.
That was not fun, but... yeah, I mean, I would rather have Delino DeShields than Ryan Lamar, that's for sure. DeShields is actually doing well in AAA. He's got like a, you know, like a 500 on base percentage, and like he's slugging like 700. So like, you know, he's a talented guy. He's not terrible. Obviously we haven't acquired him yet, but like I can't imagine I can't imagine that it would take too much to get him. It's probably
That's probably why I expect it to happen, honestly, because like they want him and he's not going to cost anything at all, basically. So I mean, I don't really see a reason why it wouldn't happen. The only thing that would make me doubt it a little bit is usually when Cashman wants a player and he gets him, you don't hear about it in many cases. Not all. There's a few exceptions, but. For a deal that should be as easy as this, it does seem a little odd that we've heard about discussions since last night. We just left Texas, and we've heard nothing since. It just seems a little weird to me. But
We heard about Tyone.
What do you say?
We heard about Tyone when he
Said, there are some exceptions for sure. Yeah, but in general, though, that is usually the case with him, though. Not always, but more often than not, I would say.
Yeah. I think it'll probably happen, or they're gonna work out something, because you know Hicks died, man. He's not coming back. I really don't think he's coming back. You know, and even if he does come back, you can't even guarantee what it'll be as well. So like, yeah, that's the end of that with Hicks. For you know, I don't know if they're gonna bring him back next year, but we'll get into that in one of our off-season videos. Once a player is out for the year, you really can't pay attention to them. No offense. We wish Hicks the best, but like same thing with Severino. Once Severino was out for the year, we had to focus on who we had, last year. So, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously I don't want Delino DeShields starting in center field in like a playoff game, but like, as like a holdover until the trade deadline, I think he can be adequate. And that's really all we ask.
Literally all I will ask for the next month or two out of whoever ends up being our center fielder.
Just play 2 months of adequate baseball and we'll kiss you on the lips.
And you know, with the Shields, he'd give me enough just because he's going to play a really good center field. He can probably... Lay down some good bunts, so that'd be nice. You know, this...
Oh yeah, let's go.
Because you know, Tyler Wade, he can't even bunt.
Yeah, Tyler Wade can't bunt, but he can hit now. So
yeah, he can suddenly hit, so that's kind of fun.
That's cool. That is pretty funny. We're definitely gonna get into that because he was kind of like the secondary MVP as a no hitter.
Yeah. The last episode, what did we finish with? We finished with
the series before Texas. We finished with the Baltimore series.
Oh, so we actually did go through all the Baltimore stuff already.
Yes, Tampa and Baltimore. We went through it.
Got it. So, all right, cool. We can just jump right into Texas then. That's fun.
Wait, I want to make sure that I was correct when I said that. Yes, I was correct. Okay. All right. Smart Tom.
Well, this was a really great series for the Yankees, man. I mean, like you said, we really needed to win 3 out of 4, I think, against Texas. I wouldn't have really been happy with anything less, although I might have been a little blinded by the Corey Kluber no-hitter, so if we lost, I probably would have rationalized it somehow. But with that said,
I did not expect, of all games, though, to lose the Gerrit Cole start. That was surprising, for sure.
That was funny.
That was a little rough. That was a little rough.
Hey, just goes to show that, like, anyone can have a stinker against anyone in this league.
Oh, totally.
They were just jumping on his fastball. They jumped his ass. And, yeah.
Mets fans love to talk about DeGrom, but in reality, he can easily have a start like that once or twice a year, too. It can happen to literally anyone, so please, relax a little here.
He's been pretty much flawless for, like, the whole year, so, like, he's
He gave up five earned runs, and he still has a 2.03 ERA. I think he's fine.
Yeah, and his ERA would still be under two if Higashioka didn't throw the ball into center field! Sorry.
I really don't care, right? On occasion, you have a bad game behind the plate, whatever. Higgy was fine, but
he made up for it.
Yeah, he's fine, but
he caught a no hitter. He made up for it.
Exactly, and just saying, he's literally gonna catch Kluber definitely the rest of the year. Now, at one point, I was like, I wonder if they try Gary again with him since he's starting to hit a little more. But no, I don't think you can even do that now. Honestly, I don't see it happening. I think it's just Higgy will always catch Cole and Kluber, and you have Gary catch the other three. That's pretty much what I expect at this point.
You know, if that's the 3 out of 5 split that Gary gets, that's fine.
No, I'm cool with that. I mean, it's not like Higgy's doing, let me rephrase, that's not like Gary's doing so good offensively where I'm like, okay, we absolutely need to get him in the lineup 4 out of 5 at least. Like, no, like, he's doing better. I'll give him that. Like, I will give him that, but, it's not enough where I'm like, yeah, this guy's got to be in there every day, no exceptions. It's not like that right now.
Mm. Gary's back, let's be honest, but we'll get into that another time.
Do you still think that?
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't shown anything.
He had a nice double the other day. You know,
oh, yeah.
Made some mechanical changes. Got a base hit yesterday.
I'm sorry. I'm just not impressed yet. A 1-for-4 game yesterday. Whoop-de-doo. It's cool, but, like, it's not enough for me to say he's back. It's just so stupid.
In this dead ball era, this man is back and better than ever.
He has a 192 batting average, but okay. Anyway, moving on.
You know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway.
Life is more than batting average, my friend. Gary Sanchez is back.
There is no, okay, just saying right now, there is no hitter in baseball ever that bats below 200 that you want, and that's just a fact. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Monty Grandal.
Is he actually batting below 200?
Yeah, but he's got like a 150 weighted runs created plus because he walks a ton and he hits a bunch of dingers.
I'm actually curious now. Is he actually walking that much? Because that's got to be like a crazy walk rate.
Yes, like, he's got like a 400 on base percentage.
Wait, where is he?
It's the biggest difference in OPS and batting average since Barry Bonds.
Is that actually a real factor?
Yeah, that's actually true.
If that's the case, then Grandal is just a freak this year.
His on base percentage is like 300 points higher than his batting average.
Okay, then that's just an anomaly. That's not a regular thing ever.
Yeah, but you said you wouldn't have a guy batting under 200. You wouldn't want to have a guy batting under 200. But then I just named you a guy.
All right. You gave me one
well above average player.
I will give you credit, but Gary is not even remotely close to that.
Yasmani Grandal would have been a really cool get for the Yankees a few years ago, but I digress. Well, let's get into this series. Cole got smacked. I kind of want to throw that game out the window. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, Cole got smacked. It's not what you want. So
we're not even
going
to acknowledge that.
I'll give two positive takeaways from that game right now. One.
Blow his arm out.
No, well, yes. So I guess that'll be three. That's one. Two, Luke Voit hit a dinger, so that was cool.
Yeah, and then did absolutely zilch the rest of the way.
No, he had a few hits, but he wasn't really like driving the ball. It was just like singles. So
he's just taking big daddy hacks and just coming up with air.
I think he'll be again. I'm not really worried about him. He'll be fine, but it's just, you know, not ideal, but whatever. Albert Abreu had a fucking great game that first game. Actually,
didn't he get sent back down?
I think he did, but he had 3 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts, so that was a very nice outing for him.
Nice job, Albert.
I guess we'll just go to game two. I mean, again, there's not much to talk about from game one.
Yeah. It feels like this entire series is just us trying to get to Kluber's game, to be honest.
It is. But game two, you know,
Tyone sucked.
4.1 innings pitched, 4 in runs, 3 strikeouts, gave up a dinger. You know, I'm going to say I'm not the kind of guy. Usually I am very negative with these kind of things, but I'm not giving up on Tyone, man. I'm really not at all.
Well,
a guy coming back from Tommy John, I'm not done with them yet. I'm not at that point. If we're in like,
less than 10 starts, who cares?
If we're in like middle of July and we're still doing this shit, then we can have a real discussion about what we gotta fucking do, because at that point it's just like you gotta do something. But
yeah, and then you're getting Severino back around that time.
And I was gonna say, people have been saying, you know, oh, you know, we're Severino, you know, forget about Tyone, you know. It's like, well, even when Sevy's back, Tyone's still gonna pitch.
Yeah.
He's not going away. The Yankees traded for him for a reason, and he's under control for next year too. So he's not going anywhere. So
don't forget, we have to find a place to slot Max Scherzer in as well.
No.
Yes.
I refuse to dream like that.
I don't.
Honestly though, if you had to ask me what I want, I would want two really good hitters over Max Scherzer right now. I'm going to be honest.
That's a good question. Well,
I just think. It's more important.
I don't disagree. It's like one of those things now, because we have no left field production, as well as our starting center fielder is probably out for the year. We're probably gonna need an outfielder. I'm gonna be honest. It's a good market for outfielders as
it
well.
It is.
Yeah.
We'll probably have a better outlook of what we need in a couple months, because so much could happen, man. I mean, what happens if, you know, God forbid, but what if Corey Kluber got hurt? I mean, anything could happen over the next 2 months. I mean, maybe we'll need a pitcher, but or maybe someone falls apart, you know, maybe Herman starts to lose it. I mean, definitely not out of the realm of possibilities. So we're going to have to wait and see. But I think that pitcher is not a necessity. However, if, let's say the outfield market and the general hitters market is not what we need, and we see, you know, these guys aren't really options for us, we don't really have a place to put them, or maybe we can't take on their money because the Yankees are cheap, and they say, you know what, let's go all in on a super rotation to make up for how bad the hitting could potentially be, then fine.
Think about this. You're talking Cole, Scherzer, Severino, Kluber, Tyone, Herman. One of those gets that fourth spot, and the other two get to go to the bullpen and fucking let it rip.
The rotation would actually be 7 deep, because you have Monty too.
Yeah, Monty as well. Fuck that guy right now. He's on my shit list, but he's got an opportunity to get off of it tonight.
Yeah, I actually said to myself today, I have a gut feeling either Tyone or Monty is going to have a huge game. Not both, but one of them is going to have a great fucking game. I'm calling it right now. I don't know who, but it'll happen. I can see it. I can see it in my head happening.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight's game. This is going to be fun. It's going to be a good matchup. You got Rodon going tonight. We don't have to face Giolito or Lynn.
Rodon's fucking good, though, man.
He's
good.
Yeah, he's averaging like 94 miles per hour in his fastball now, he's got his velocity back, so now he's a beast. So congratulations, Carlos. But I hope we smoke your ass tonight.
If I'm the Yankees, or rather, if as a fan, I'm just hoping we can even scratch across like 2 or 3 at tops. Honestly, I mean, this guy, like, he's that good. He has a 1.47 ERA on the year, and I would say really the only thing that might help us a bit is the fact that he's a lefty and our lineup is so right-handed heavy. So
yeah,
that could play to our advantage a little bit, maybe. This is where I really wish we had Stanton, man.
Yeah, Stanton's coming back Tuesday, it seems. So, because we don't have a game on Monday.
Peter's saying people are very skeptical about him coming back, but I genuinely do believe he will be back.
They already showed video of him out in Texas doing normal work. He's probably fine.
I think it really was a precautionary thing. So
yeah, they're just like, dude, just take like a week off. just like, don't hurt yourself. We don't want to deal with this. So they're just like, okay, it's a light strain. That's what they called this. And it's a light strain, put him on the 10-day injured list, and they gave him like a week to recover. Now he's probably good. So, you know, probably be back Tuesday. But yeah, you're going to need tonight specifically, you're going to need like the right-handed power bats to do something. Yeah, I expect Gary to get the start. So you're going to I expect, you know, we're going to need Judge to do something. You're going to need Boyd to do something. Gio, Glaber, those, the big bats, you know, Judge, obviously. Do something. And if, you know, Clint's got neck stuff, so I don't expect him to play, but I think Andujar is probably going to start in this place. So do something, Miguel. Just fucking hit, man, and DJ.
Andujar has been actually getting some. He's been scratching across some hits. He's been looking a little better.
Yes, he has been. We need all the production we can get. So like, I have no objections to a man getting hits on the New York Yankees.
You know, right now I would say that my guy to watch for this game and this series especially is definitely Luke Voit, man. I think that's the guy you really got to keep.
Specifically, this game against this lefty.
And not just that, I mean, we have a lefty in game 3, too, in Keuchel.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he existed.
I mean, you're facing two lefties this series with a right-handed heavy lineup. Voit has had some big swings, but he's scratched across some good hits. He's had some good at-bats. He hasn't looked, like, totally back, but he hasn't
He's garbage. Nah, I'm kidding.
Okay. He hasn't looked totally off either, so I think that he's pretty close. And this series might be what he needs to get him right back into the groove. So if he does, that's not just huge for the series, but that's just huge for the season, man. Because a healthy, raking Luke Voit is about as good as a hitter you can get at first base in baseball, let alone on the Yankees.
Yeah. So we're going to briefly go back to the Texas series. We'll wrap up the Texas series, then we'll get into the Chicago series in detail. You know, Tyone, like we said, stunk, but like the Yankees managed to come back because like everyone decided to just get hits, which was very cool to see them like not trying to go yard and actually just like having good solid pieces of hitting where they're just yanking balls down the line and hitting doubles. It felt like a doubles parade. And then, you know, it was nice to see Gary chugging on that RBI single. I think Andujar hit it, and Gary's actually sneaky quick, man, when he gets going. But he ended up cramping his hamstring because of that. But you know, Higgy finished that game out, and we ended up winning that game 7-4, if I remember correctly.
It was 7-4, yeah. And you're right, man. The doubles were really fun. It was nice seeing us scratch across all those hits. I mean, we had a double from DJ, double from Gary, double from Gio, and DJ almost went deep in that game, too. He had a really deep sack fly. I mean, that was probably the hardest I've seen him hit
that's
a ball.
That's how Yankee Stadium, if I already guessed.
I'm pretty sure I read that out in quite a few stadiums, so, I mean.
Yeah, 19 out of 30.
Yeah, so he's hopefully going to turn a corner soon. I don't need big power out of him. I just need more extra base hits in general. Like, if he just starts scratching across a bunch of doubles, I'm good. Like, I don't need a bunch of homers from him. Like, especially this year.
I just don't want it to be all singles.
Yeah, exactly. I understand this is a dead ball era right now, and it's not just him, obviously. It's not like, oh, this is just happening to the Yankees. No, this is league-wide. With that said,
we need to bring those old baseballs back, by the way.
It doesn't excuse the Yankees being as bad as they've been offensively, for sure. It doesn't excuse that at all, because they're not even – they're a little below middle of the pack, I think, which is not acceptable for a team that should be really top five, if not top three in baseball offensively. So, really, right now, you got to see some more from them, for sure.
That's the thing that – you're still here, right? Luke, did we lose Luke? Did we lose Luke?
Do you hear me?
Yes, now I'm here. Okay, good. Okay, I was just going to say, now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, you're talking about the Yankees being middle of the pack or below middle of the pack offensively. And I think, you know, thinking of it this way, I think that's like a really good sign for like, if we do play up to our standards offensively, like, we're going to be an unstoppable force because our pitching is actually, our pitching is actually legitimately our strength, a big strength.
Oh, absolutely. So, and it's not just a thing that's just happening, like they're hot, we're in a groove. It's not just that. I think it's very real what's happening with the Yankees pitching. I mean, Corey Kluber is Corey Kluber. I think what we've seen from him is real. It's just health, really, you have to worry about. Cole is Gerrit Cole, obviously. Herman, we'll see. But so far, you like what you see for sure. He's giving length, and his stuff is really good, and he's not really walking people. I mean, he's doing everything you want to see. And you go to the bullpen. I mean, we're working without Darren O'Day and Zach Britton, and we're still probably one of the best bullpen in all baseball right now. Yeah, if we get the full bullpen back, dude, I mean, no team is going to touch our pitching. Like,
we're going to have a roster crunch when it comes to the bullpen. I think someone's going to have to go down the minors. One of the reasons they got Wandy Peralta is because he has a minor league option.
And I can't even imagine sending him down, honestly.
Yeah, someone's going to get hurt. This always happens.
To think now, like, if everyone's healthy, what would it be, out of curiosity? You'd have Chapman, you'd have Britton, you'd have O'Day.
Green's up. I mean, I think King's up here. So, like,
yeah, you'd have Green. Then you only have room for, I mean, you can go eight-man pen. So if you go eight-man pen, then you'd have Peralta, probably Lidke, and one more. Mm. Oh, I didn't even say Loaisiga. Loaisiga, Jesus Christ. There's so many guys left out. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be a crunch, but whatever. We'll figure that out later.
I mean, it's a good problem to have if you're the Yankees. This is the kind of problem you never have. It's always, who the hell's pitching this inning? Especially last year, man. I mean, last year was a nightmare.
Yeah, last year. Now we got all the depth in the world. It's fucking crazy, man. I'm enjoying that.
Because, you know, we always have a great bullpen in general, but last year was the first year where I was like, I don't really trust our pen that much outside of the main three. It was really just Green, Chapman, and Britton, and if they weren't pitching, I had very little faith.
I think the whole bullpen thing got lengthened just because Jonathan Loaisiga decided to be good. So
yeah,
that opens up like a whole can of worms.
And obviously, you got to give credit to Cashman for the Ottavino move, man. I mean, getting rid of him and then replacing him with two pitchers, even though O'Day's obviously hurt and Wilson's had some issues, but I mean, it just deepens the pen, though, especially when everyone's healthy. Yeah, if you have
two arms, O'Day and Wilson. One.
Absolutely. And the thing is, O'Day is, when healthy, he's better than Ottavino. Like, he's definitely better. I mean, Ottavino was kind of rough last year, and he's not exactly lighting it up with Boston this year.
I think, you know, O'Day is a good pitcher. So, like, I mean, like, we're good. We're good in the bullpen. Everyone's doing well. There haven't been, like,
but you know what's really awesome?
What?
When you have a starter go 9 innings and not give up any hits, so you don't even need to use the bullpen.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
You know, that was quite a night, and we should probably talk about that.
Corey Kluber, man. I mean, this is a big thing. This is a big game for Yankees fans that are around my age, because we have not seen a no-hitter ever.
Never saw one.
I have never seen one. I am 20 years old, have yet to see a no-hitter on the Yankees. So this is a very big day for me, and I didn't even get to watch the whole game, which sucked. But you know what? I caught the last 3 innings. I was out with my friends, I still remember I was on my way to Acme to get some freaking ice cream, and I'm in the middle of the freaking store, and I see Corey Kluber through 6 with no hitter. I'm like, what the fuck? And I just open up my Yes app, and I'm watching in the store for the rest of the game, and in the car on the way home, I'm like, this is unbelievable, and not how I expected to watch my first no hitter, man. It was really something, and I got to give credit to Corey, man. After the shit people gave him in spring training, saying he was going to be nothing, he's not the same pitcher, he's proven everybody wrong, and good for him, man. Good for him.
Yeah, he was basically biblical on the mound on Wednesday. It was fun, man. It was fun. This is, you know, David Cone's perfect game was July 18th, 1999. My birth was July 17th, 2000. Okay, so, like, I was born, like, a year after, almost exactly. So, I've been waiting a long time to see a no-hitter.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, it feels like every other team got one. And it was just like, when's the Yankee one going to come? I know CeCe got close. Phil Hughes once got close. But, you know, nobody... But then you sign a guy like Corey Kluber, random ass... well, not, like, random, but, like... You sign him to this one-year flyer deal, and he ends up being the one to do it. It's just like, yeah.
You know what? And again, people love the shit on Cashman, but you got to give him credit when he makes the right moves, man. This was the right move, clearly, so far. I mean, Corey Kluber has been a clear number two starter, although in a perfect world, he wouldn't be my number two just because, you know, I want to have a deeper rotation, and I want Seve to be Severino, or I want Scherzer to be in there. I want someone else there. I mean, I said, hey, I want Scherzer. You know that. I want him. I am just realistic, but I obviously want him. With that said, I still remember, actually, I was looking at the game log after the third inning, and because I was just checking the game on my phone, I'm like, oh, he's giving up no hits so far. That's pretty cool. And then when I saw that it was the sixth, I was like, wait, that's still a thing?
He's still doing it. He's still doing it.
It was, in my head, I'm like, there's no way he didn't do it. Then he gets through seven. I'm like, okay, now this is real. Because I've seen a couple times the Yankees have had no-hitters through six in the last
Once he got to the eighth inning with the no-hitter.
Yeah, that's when it was real. Like, that's when it was real.
And then I knew, I kind of felt like something special was happening. Because like the first ball that was hit in the eighth inning was smashed and Gio managed to pick it and throw it to first. And it's like... this defense right now is playing for him. So it's like, yeah. And then I forgot what else happened in that inning, but like DJ made a nice play in the ninth inning as well.
I mean, the whole story of the game was just so fun. And then Tyler Wade in right field coming in. I mean, that was pretty interesting. I mean,
good instincts. Good instincts from Tyler Wade.
You got to give the guy credit. As a guy who is an infielder by nature for his entire career, being able to play the outfield as well as he does when needed is pretty awesome, man. I have to give credit to his athleticism and even more so his freaking triple in the game, man. I mean, it's because of him that Corey Kluber had a chance to win this game with a no-hitter. Without him, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, he got the game-winning hit. Made a nice running play for the second out of the ninth inning. And, you know, that last at bat, man, he starts him off with that perfect curveball, the Kluber ball. He doesn't like to call it a curveball. And then throws a little cutter that just gets in enough. It leaked a little bit, but it got in enough.
The ninth inning, you could see his pitches were just starting to leak a little bit, and I was like, please don't hit these. The thing is,
the ball that Dahl hit was a changeup that was, like, about to hit the dirt, and it was like, I don't know, he hit that, but he just managed to float it up in the air, and Wade
I thought that ball was going to drop off the bat, man. My heart dropped for a sec.
I was like, oh, shit, and it's like, once you see Wade get under it, you're like, yeah. All right. And then that cut, he threw a perfect pitch to Calhoun for the first pitch, throws a cutter that just gets in enough. And then once the ball was hit, once you see Glaver get down on one knee, set himself, pick it up, and all he has to do, because Calhoun isn't fast, all he has to do is make a little soft toss to first base. It's just like, we just witnessed something really cool. That was an amazing game. All the way around, and it was like a very stress-free game. He only threw 101 pitches.
Dude, he almost had a Maddox no-hitter.
So like, that's incredible. You know,
it really is.
If he's gonna throw no-hitter, he has to be around 100 pitches, because no way after shoulder surgery they're gonna let him throw 130 pitches. So good job, Corey, just throwing strikes. There was one pitch, and like, I don't know if you saw it, but it was like this cutter to Joey Gallo. That just like he threw a wiffle ball that just like hit the corner of the zone. It was just like, yeah, this guy's got no hit stuff tonight. But yeah, this he was just on
Corey Kluber's got that it factor, man. He's unfazed even when he has a little rougher games. Like, he doesn't get fazed by any bad innings. He just comes out there and goes back to work, man. He just has that work ethic. He has the right attitude. He's a guy I consider the ultimate competitor, kind of like Cole, but in a very different way.
He's almost biblical.
Yeah, like, Cole was like, he's just an animal out there. He's a pure animal. Kluber is not an animal. He's the robot.
Yeah, we got power and we got finesse.
And I absolutely love that combo, honestly. It's pretty sick. But it's just exciting to think about this rotation, man. I'm very happy with this team right now. And I guess we'll just get into the final game of the series.
Yeah, this game should be quick because it was quick. This was a getaway day game. This game went quick. I'm going to be honest. This game only, I don't know if you watched it, but it went really quick.
I think I watched most of it. I definitely caught most of Herman's start. He did really good. I mean, 7 innings pitched from Herman. You can't complain at all. He gave up no runs. And really, I mean,
look at all this length we're getting from the starters.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not used to it. Like, I'm not used to getting these 6-inning games from our starters consistently. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And now I'm just thinking to myself, again, like we talked about before, just imagine if this team could hit just even a little bit better. Oh, God. If they can just score, like, four runs a game, I feel like we'd win more often than not easily.
Yeah, we're doing that. We're scoring like 2 a game, and we're winning games.
But that's my point. Like we don't need to score a ton of runs. Like, we don't. But obviously, I prefer to.
Get that offense going.
And you know, just looking at what we did in that last game, I will give credit to Gardner. He had a solid game, 2 for 3, and he had a walk, so that was nice.
Nice job, Brett.
And then Andujar
played a nice center field.
Yeah, and I would say the big takeaways from this game were the pinch hitters, man. The pinch hitters were the heroes of this game. I mean, Gio Urshela had a pinch hit single, which was cool. And then Judge had a pinch hit single, and both were the RBI singles.
Yeah, that basically wrapped it up. Chapman came in, threw gas, struck people out.
It was the usual, yeah.
Yeah, and but we do have to get into this.
Oh?
There are 2 issues that just keep plaguing the Yankees, and that is double plays and bad base running.
Yes.
Double plays and bad base.
In the I will Kluber say,
game,
though.
In the Kluber game, we grounded into 5 or 6 double plays.
I got to say something. The double plays are obviously, they're a clear issue.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
That's a problem one way or another. And so is the base running, but I will defend Mike Ford during the
Fat
one
Ford.
Mistake he had.
His
that
new
was
name
not
Fat Ford.
But he was just, that was a normal thing he did. You always round third base on that play a little bit. Like, that's just what you do. That was just a heads up play by the second baseman.
Fucking idiot. Get back to first.
Like, really, Ford did nothing wrong on that play,
yes,
I will say. No,
yes,
he didn't.
Yes, he did.
But what did he do wrong?
You need to know when you're a chunky guy that you're chunky. Okay? This man had negative 0.5 shot of ever rounding third and going home safely.
That doesn't matter. That's
just
the way that's what you do.
Glue yourself to the bag. If you blow your ankle out, well, then that's an issue. Don't do that.
That's literally what you do, because if the ball gets away from the first baseman on the throw, then he's running home. That's just that's literally what you have to do as a base runner.
Sure. Sure.
It's literally what you do. Have you ever played baseball? That's literally what you do when that happens. You round third slightly.
Mike Ford's got his own special set of rules because –
look, if Mike Ford went far off third, I would have said that was a bad mistake. But he was literally just a couple steps off third. Like, he was not even far off the bag, which does speak to how slow he is, of course. But regardless, if anything, he's just got to be a little bit more heads up on, you know, paying attention to the second baseman, if anything. As for his lead off of third, no, that was not an issue.
Perhaps I was a little too hard on Mike Ford. I feel like his presence annoys me.
Oh, I agree with that. I was very hard on him in the moment. In the moment, I was cursing that fucker out, but then I was like,
Gio made two mistakes as well. So we got to get on Gio as well. If you're going to get on one guy, you got to be consistent. You got to get on the other guy as well.
Fair enough.
Gio, what the fuck are you doing, man? He almost had the swim move, but he got a fistful of spikes instead because Culberson was blocking third base. I forgot.
You know,
the other
Gio.
One. I think he got,
I'm not worried about his base running because he has a high baseball IQ. So that's kind of just a weird game, I guess.
Not that time.
I'm just saying, there's some guys they consistently do dumb shit. Like Glaber was one of those guys, so I would get on him every time he did something. Or Clint. So you look at Gio when he does that. If on occasion, like he just did, it's like, you know what, I'm pissed, but like, I'm not worried about it. There's a difference.
Yeah. Listen, we can't keep doing the outs on the base paths thing. Now, this is, we just got to glue ourselves to the bases going forward because it's gotten ridiculous.
Just give it to the double plays. I care about that more. That bothers me more.
I'm more concerned about the double plays because it's like, we're not a fast team. If we had a ball on the ground, we're not beating it out most of the time. Okay, so like, and we have like 42 double plays. We're on pace to hit like 200 double plays this year.
We're literally on pace for 180, I think. We're gonna break the record as of now, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. That is just, that's just a bad stat. It's
like should we have like a celebration if that happens?
Like, we hit the ball in the air. Please. Thank you. Like, my God. My bad. But, yeah, this has gotten annoying. I hate that. I hate the double plays. It's gotten annoying. And it's killed the offense.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you're not getting as many opportunities for the rest of the lineup for guys in scoring.
One ball hit results in two outs. Not good.
I would say it is fairly problematic.
It's not what you want. In the words of Joe Girardi.
I mean, those are pretty much our takeaways from this series. Do you have any other thoughts before we briefly discuss the White Sox?
Not really. I rarely have thoughts. And when I do have thoughts, they're rarely good thoughts. So, like,
I have a fun topic.
Okay.
I just thought of this because we're going to talk about the White Sox. We haven't talked about this on here yet. What do you think about the whole German Mercedes bullshit?
It is one of those topics surrounding baseball that is just it's fun to talk about. Honestly, I enjoy the thing about this whole old guard versus new regime kind of thing going on. Is that it gives you lots of shit to talk about, and like that's the fun stuff. So, you know, obviously Tony La Russa is as old school as it gets. He's like, he's pushing 80 years old. He's like 76 or something.
Yeah,
so like,
he's old.
He's an old dude. You know, so it's not shocking that he has some views on the way the game should be played that don't reflect our current times. And it's one of the reasons why his hiring was questionable. Let's be honest, he got hired because he's good friends with the owner. And the owner felt bad about firing him in the 80s. So he basically got his job off of nepotism instead of actually being good for the job. Now,
yeah, this was not the right team for him to manage.
No. Let me cough for a second. Give me 1 second. I got that. Okay.
Let that out.
Nope. I had to let that out or else I would have just choked to death. But, you know, I'm going to edit that out, by the way. But, you know, Tony La Russa clearly isn't the right guy for the job. It's clear that the players have different feelings about the situation than he does. The thing about La Russa is that he's such a pompous ass about it as well. That, like, you know, Lance Lynn made a comment, like, Lance Lynn talked about it. He's like, you know, a position player being put out there as a joke. Why is him swinging 3-0 a joke? Something like that. And then Tony La Russa is like, well, I have a locker. I have an office and he only has a locker.
Yeah, he's acting as if he's so superior.
He pulled rank on him.
Like, come on.
Like, come on. Fuck you, man. It's like,
no, he's such a self-righteous piece of shit, man. It's horrible. Yeah, and it's as like, a manager, you need to defend your players, man. And also, you can't do that.
Also, he's like, oh, I sent a letter over to the Twins apologizing for what Mercedes did. Like, it's like,
what?
You're supposed to be from like the 80s tough era of baseball, and you're that soft. Like,
it's insane. Like, what? Because you guys hurt their feelings? Like, really? It's crazy. And you know, you got to think about it from Mercedes' perspective. I mean, well, first off, you want to add as many runs as possible, because although you're probably almost definitely going to win, more runs you get, the better. Pad onto your lead. Why would you not? And B, you want to get your stats up, because not just because of, you know, you wanting to have
arbitration, baby.
But yeah, arbitration negotiations. It's literally money at stake. You're not going to just give away at bats because was that a 3-run home run?
It was a solo shot.
Oh, was it just a solo? Okay. Yeah. Well, even so.
It was a bomb, too.
Let's just say the difference of 39 and 40 home runs. Sounds dumb, but they will use that against you in negotiations. They will use that tiny, stupid stuff just like that. So
if you're a pre-arbitration player or a pre-free agency player and you have an opportunity to go yard, take the opportunity to go yard.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
It only helps your case to make more money.
So the bottom line here is he did nothing wrong. He's trying to help himself and help his team.
I'm just sick of, like, Tony La Russa acting the way that he has, by the way.
And regardless of if he feels that way, you need to defend your players in public. If you really feel the need
to discuss this with him. We forgot to mention that Mercedes got thrown at the next game.
Yep.
And
he's like, oh,
I didn't have a problem with
it. I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's really one way to win over your clubhouse, is by telling your clubhouse that, hey, if you get thrown at, I'm going to side with the other team.
He already lost his clubhouse. There's no way. There's no coming back from that. There's just no coming back from that. He literally said to his players, "I'm superior to you. I'm the manager. You're just my little players."
He's acting like a fucking god.
He's
acting like he's a manager from the 80s when, like, the game's changed. The manager's role has changed. The players don't respond to the Billy Martins anymore.
I really would kill to see Billy Martin manage today, just because it'd be hilarious.
It would be funny. But
it'd be very funny.
But, like, let's be honest. Like, he's not, like, baseball players want to be managed more by the likes of an Aaron Boone or Alex Cora or Dave Roberts. These kinds of guys who are younger, who are relaxed, analytically minded, good at communicating. And Tony La Russa comes in, acts like a god, and just is trying to maintain this level of superiority that just isn't there anymore in the game. Like, it's not, there's not a big difference between manager and player anymore. A manager is still a higher rank than the player, because the manager has to manage the players. But, like,
but it doesn't matter, though. And even if he was, like,
Tony
even
La Russa
if he had that
god,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
And even if he did feel that superiority complex, which he obviously does, you have to defend your players one way or another. Like, at the very least, if he had his players back, even if he was a dick,
he didn't.
At least he'd have that going for him. At least he'd have that going for him. But he doesn't even have that. He's just a dick, and he doesn't support his own players. So what place is there for him on this White Sox team? The answer is there is no place, because he should not be managing a team that he's clearly lost with already. Like, he should be out. He should be out.
Yeah, he's already lost the team in a variety of ways. It's like, and he's made some managerial decisions that have had costly impact. Like, they could be over 30 wins by now if Tony La Russa wasn't a shithead. So he's not even managing well. And he's also, you know, acting in a way that just doesn't work anymore. They're, like, the game changes. Like, the game has changed, man. Like, and, like, whether he likes it or not, if you're not going to adapt to what the game actually is now, you're just not, you're going to get eaten alive. Like, there's no way. There's no way that, like, Billy Martin could survive in this league right now. It's just, it doesn't work like that anymore.
If Billy Martin was in this league, I don't think the umpires would survive.
Billy Martin barely survived in the 70s and the 80s because of his antics. Like, he wouldn't survive a day in today's era. So, like, yeah, fucking Tony La Russa's got to adapt or get fired.
Yeah. Absolutely with you.
Do you think that he gets fired though? Because the owner was the one that wanted to hire him. The owner didn't.
If he gets, I don't think he gets fired. But I will say, if there is, if this is like an ongoing thing and there's more incidents of this nature, then I think that eventually something might give. But like, if this was it for like the bigger incidents, I think they just roll with him unless something crazy happens. Like, maybe even if like the players spoke to the owner, let's say, or something, like said, like, this is just not right. Like, if that happened, then maybe he thinks about it. But otherwise, I don't know, really.
I don't even know what else to say.
Yeah, I'll just briefly go. Yeah, we'll go into the White Sox series a little bit. We already did before, but
good segue.
Just to recap. We got Carlos Rodon against Jordan Montgomery. We already kind of discussed this game. So, really, we're just kind of hoping that Monty takes a step forward and that the Yankees can do damage against the lefty. So, we'll see what happens.
Keep us in it. Don't walk anyone. Avoid homers.
Yeah. Then game two, we got Dylan Cease against Gerrit Cole. So, that's going to be the premier matchup of the series. Yeah, Cease is having a good year so far. I wouldn't go that far, but, you know, it's good. And really, the third game, we got Tyone against Keuchel. And just looking at all this series as a whole, I would say this is going to be the biggest test for the Yankees this year. Because the White Sox are a excellent team. And they're not just, like, good at one thing like the Yankees, where we're just pitching really good. They are hitting and pitching. And not just a little bit. They have the second best ERA in either baseball or in the league, one or the other. And they And they have basically, they probably have the best offense in the league, I think, right?
I'm pretty sure. It's up there.
I think I remember reading they were leading in some major offensive stats, if I remember correctly. And looking at their lineup, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, you
they
go down the list.
Ball, yeah.
You got Jose Abreu, you got Yermin Mercedes, Tim Anderson, Grandal, Adam Eaton, Yoan Moncada. I mean, Nick Madrigal. It's a killer lineup, man. They got a lot going for them, and I don't really see this series being easy at all. I think the Yankees are really going to have to step up their game and not just pitch, but they're going to need to start hitting if they want any shot at winning this series. So, again, this is the test. This is it for the Yankees. If they want to prove that they are a division-winning World Series type of team, this is the kind of series where you can start proving it a bit more than you have so far.
Yeah, I mean, we beat the Rays, right? So that was a good test against a good team. But we really haven't had many games against great teams
recently. And even the Rays, they weren't really doing so well at the time, I don't think. So we caught them at a good time for us.
Yeah, we've had injuries as well and shit. It's like, you know, this is a big opportunity. I know Hicks is out. I know our left field situation is fluid, to say the least. And I know Stanton's out. But, you know, you got Voit, you got DJ, you got Judge, you got Glaber, you got Gio, you got Gary, you got, you know, even Higgy can swing the stick a little bit. You should be able to. And Andujar is swinging a good bat right now as well. So, like... Yeah. Fucking hit the ball, please, and just, you know, you can sneak a few over the short porch, get off to a hot start. I think the key to tonight's game, and I think the thing that's going to set the tone for the series, is if, like, you get a 1-2-3 for Montgomery, or just, like, a clean first inning for Montgomery in which he doesn't give up a run, and you can get your lineup to the bottom of the first. At our place, Yankee Stadium, you got Judge in the first, DJ in the first, probably Boyd in the first. And it's like, they scratch off a few runs, and it's like, hey, we're getting rolling because we're feeling good about winning our last three games, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you just got to keep the momentum train rolling. So it's all on Montgomery in that first inning. Get those three outs. It's almost like a save. Get those three outs. See what we can do in that bottom of the first. I really think that's going to be a tone setter, in my opinion.
You might be right. And, you know, another thing to watch for this series, too, Tyone has always pitched a lot better at home so far over this season. So this could be a game.
He likes the coffee
there. Yeah, he does. He likes that New York coffee. So I would watch for him to at least definitely have a better start than his previous one, I think. I mean, again, Tyone has all the stuff in the world to succeed. He just needs to put it together. And more than anything, I think it's going to come down to his pitch selection more than anything, probably. I really do think that's it, because he just relies too much on that fastball up. Because even if he misses with his fastball, if you're going to it a little less, you can still blow it by people because they aren't just guessing fastball every time. Because right now, you can consistently probably guess when he's going to throw a fastball because he has such a predictable pitch pattern. So I would say if you're the Yankees, get him to mix in a little bit more off speed. Get that fastball percentage down a little bit more, and I think you'll start seeing some better results. And the strikeouts are already there. He's not walking a ton of people, so it's clearly not stuff that's the issue, or even command, really. It's just pitch selection, because mistakes happen, and hitters don't always get to them. But with Tyone, they are, because, again, he's just that predictable.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is fun. I think Tyone's next start is going to be a really big one. His last start was like the one where everyone agreed it was terrible. Even the defenders, you know, using the advanced numbers, everyone agreed like he sucked on Tuesday. So big start, sort of big start. I mean, like, obviously it's May, but like, come on, man, like show us what you got here. Cause like, the thing with Tyone is like, he's going to strike out people. He misses bats. He's got a knack for that. It's just that when they connect hard and the ball goes. And, the thing that differentiates Cole and Tyone is the fact that Cole misses more bats than anyone. So like that's the thing that keeps Cole's ERA down. But the thing is that Tyone isn't missing enough bats, and you know, he's not getting enough soft contact. And like you said, mix the pitches up, locate, and like you'll be fine, because the pitches themselves are good pitches. He's got really great stuff. You can see why they traded for him, and you can see why he misses so many bats. It's just about being consistent, hitting your spots, and mixing pitches up to the point where the batter doesn't know what's coming.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, man. I think that's the recipe for success, and really, I think that's about it for this Yankees series preview. I mean, do you have any other notes you want to take on this before we wrap it up here?
Let me think. I like to think. Cole's going to have a bounce back start. That's my gut feeling. I think Cole's going to have a big start. But other than that, I don't really have too many thoughts. I mean, just, you know, I expect Gary to get two out of the three starts. I think Higgy starts Saturday. I think Gary starts Friday and Sunday.
And Saturday, Sunday are both day games, so there's no issues there or anything either. So, yeah, I would say Gary game one, Hickey game two, and then Gary game three. That's definitely the way it's going to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're good. I would love to see Glaber or DJ, one of our middle infielders, hit a dinger in the series. I just want to see some middle infield power. That's what I'm dying for. So, yeah.
Yeah, me too, man. Well, this has been another great episode as usual. Hopefully next time we'll have Eddie on. But until next time, this has been a wonderful episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See you, everybody.
Peace.